Show. We're getting in, giving you some quick body blows and getting out for a quick show. But join us on the adventure. 718-664-9098. Like always, you can email us, and we've been loving the emails, at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. The website, very interactive. Check that out at rayandtaytoday.com. As well as, you know, Ray and I are all over the place. You could tweet at us. You could like us on Facebook, whatever you want to do. But either way, stay in touch with us because we like to, you know, talk sports with friends and get into it. Even on Twitter, you know, have a lot of fun with the fans, sometimes criticizing us or giving their opinions different from us, or sometimes getting a lot of love and getting a lot of agreement. So, Ray, tell them what we're talking about on a training camp Friday football. Smell football, Ray.
It's what, 40-some-odd days before football, but we've got a lot of football before the season kicks off. So let us start with football. We'll talk about some news, training camp, some signings. Then we'll transition over to baseball, some signings in baseball, too, as we're approaching the trade deadline. Then we'll get into some NBA. We had some U.S. Olympic team blue and white game. So we've got some stuff to talk about there. And then we'll finish with one of our favorite segments, I'm Sorry, where Ray and Tay apologize to a team, to a city, to a player. And we're going to keep it home, keep it local. We're going to apologize in the AL East. I think you'll get a kick out of it. So let's do it. Let's start talking about the NFL.
Well, Ray, I'm really hyped up. Training camp is here. I feel football in the air. I feel fantasy football in the air. You know, I can't even lie. I snuck in a mock draft last week just to see what I went to ESPN, and I ain't gonna lie, I did a mock draft just to see what kind of roster I'd get and see what, you know, guys are, you know, computer or guys are picking and just see what's up. And my juices started flowing, man. It was a lot of fun.
If you're mock drafting in July, the people that are also mock drafting, and maybe that's the time to do a mock draft because these are probably some intense cats. If you're doing a mock draft, 45.
You know what's so funny? A lot of people do it. I thought I'd be like alone on an island. Are you kidding me? The mock drafts fill up so fast. Football, football, and more football. So the one thing I will say about it is, you know, training camp is open for 30 teams. I think I forgot who the last two are that aren't open. It might be the Steelers and somebody else, but maybe Steelers and Giants. But I believe everybody opens up tomorrow, officially everyone. But 30 teams are open. But I want to talk real quick about these Arizona Cardinals. Can I tell you, they're headed in a new direction with Bruce Arians. Coach Arians from the Colts via the Steelers before that as an OC and briefly as a head coach filling in for, you know, our boy Chuck Pagano last year with the whole Chuck Strong thing. They just signed two veterans that can really help. John Abraham, the outside linebacker, $6 million, two-year deal signing with them. I like that because he can still rush the passer. Sort of surprised because the Falcons, I don't know if they can get to the quarterback, so they should have probably brought him back, but we'll see. And then the tackle, Eric Winston, who is a veteran. You know, these guys both have played 12 and Winston 11 years, but they're both still very productive guys. So I got to believe the Cardinals just got to steal, you know, because you got to protect the quarterback and you got to get the quarterback. And they just got two guys that can definitely play and help that. What do you think about that and just the whole NFC West, Seattle with their issues?
Well, that's the problem, though, because the NFC West looks to be, even with Seattle's issue and we'll get into Percy Harvin maybe being hurt and second opinion, and some people are speculating he might be out for the year. Poor guy, between the migraines and just getting hurt. And again, another reason why you need just to be, I mean, a hip doesn't have anything to do with size, but, you know, in football, you got to draft them big. That's why, you know, Tavon Austin, man, I hope he proves me wrong, but he's just a little guy. But,
rookie of the year, maybe.
Maybe, if he can stay healthy, though. But I got a feeling he might be a Danny Amendola type and maybe can't make it through a 16-game season. Nothing to do with skill, just to do with physically, especially if you're the number one receiver on that team and everybody's focused on you because they don't have weapons there in St. Louis.
Right.
But
no, Chris Givens and Quick need to both step up. So Tavon is just literally the slot receiver.
But back to the Cardinals. I mean, look, I thought it was a great signing. I thought Abraham would have been scooped up before now. The problem for the Cardinals is that, you know, they'll be fighting with St. Louis for who's 3 and who's 4 in that division because, you know, San Francisco and Seattle are going to run away with that division. But good for them. The only problem is, again, in this sport, it so much depends on your quarterback. And, you know, are we going to get the 2013 Carson Palmer or are we going to get the 2003 Carson Palmer or the 2005?
Well, you know who Fitzgerald wants.
Well, I know who he wants, but I haven't seen the guy that fits.
But actually, wait. Let me say, in defense.
Years.
In defense. Carson Palmer had a pretty good year last year. He had no receivers. He only had Marcel Reese and the tight end, Myers, who's now with the Giants, to throw to. His receivers, Streeter and Denario or whatever the other guy. None of them are – they're all like twos and threes. There's not a number one receiver there. So the tight end, Myers, and Marcel Reese out of the backfield, the fullback – were the two go-to guys. So Carson Palmer actually threw for well over 3,000 yards, had a decent season considering that the Raiders team, plus with the injuries to McFadden, they didn't have much. He really didn't have much to work with. So I got to give Carson a little leeway. And let me tell you something. Bruce Arians has got Mendenhall. He's got Michael Floyd, Andre Robertson, who stepped up big last year as a number two receiver. Floyd will probably be the, you know, from Notre Dame, the third receiver, and Fitzgerald. You know, the tight end, Hausler, young kid, has got some talent. I think the Cardinals, and Mendenhall is healthy, I think the Cardinals are going to be a sneaky team in the NFC West. Really do.
If you're a studier of human behavior or human psychology, you might like this team because there's a lot of people on this team that have something to prove, right? Carson Palmer's got something to prove that his career is not over. Rashard Mendenhall got to prove that his last year in Pittsburgh is not indicative of how he plays ball. Larry Fitzgerald, now these young kids are moving him down the ranking, right? 2-3 years ago, he was undisputed number one receiver in NFL. Now people are saying he might not even be top 5, top 10. You look at some of these mock drafts, he's going way down there. Now, granted, that's fantasy football, but still, you know, all this stuff weighs on these guys.
And don't forget Carlos Dansby on defense with a one-year contract coming back to the Cardinals. He's got something to prove.
Sure. Darrell Washington, another guy who, you know, is dealing with that suspension and also dealing with, you know, what kind of career is he going to have? So, yeah, you've got, you know, Bruce Arians is going to get in these guys' ear, and he's got a lot of motivational buttons to push because a lot of these guys are on contract years or on show-me years. So we'll see. We'll see what that means for you guys out there in Phoenix. You want a good year of football and not –
Oh, definitely, definitely. Especially
but
for my son, my oldest son, big Cardinals fan, Elijah Dukes. Elijah loves the Cardinals, you know, 13-year-old. This is the time when, you know, your memories form of, you know, good years. So, yeah, he wants a good season. But speaking of football and going to another bird, did you hear what the Eagles did? They become the first team in NFL history to close training camp to the media, Ray. Wow. This is fascinating. I believe Chip Kelly has got a lot up his sleeve, and he doesn't want anyone to know. And I didn't even know that legally they could do that. I didn't know the NFL allowed teams to do it, but it's the first team ever.
They used to do their training camp in Lehigh, so about 45 minutes, an hour away from Philly, and he kept them in Philly. So he's just shaking it all up. I wonder, though,
good for
if
him.
This is Well, I wonder if this is Chip Kelly going against the grain just to go against the grain and shake it up, or if this is really how he, you know, conducts himself. I mean, at the end of the day, these are professionals, and I don't know. You know, there's something to be said for you have to have a relationship with the media. The media is what gets you, you know, goodwill in the community. What basically, to some degree, makes your salaries what they are is because the fans get involved and the fans love training camp and the fans love coming out and it builds a bond.
Well, the fans can still come out. They didn't close it to the fans. It's just to the media. There's no cameras, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, as far as I know,
it, right? The media writes about it.
No, they
it.
Do.
The
they do.
So we'll see. We'll see. Look, at the end of the day, it'll all be water under the bridge, depending on how they play, right? And, you know, if Mike Vick can run this offense and if Chip Kelly can instill some of the principles that he had up in Eugene, we'll see. We'll see. But
do you really
trust
Nick Foles, though, to be your starting quarterback? He had some decent moments last year, but you got to believe with this type of system and what he wants to do, wouldn't you think that Mike Vick would naturally be the starter even though they won competition?
Yes. Yes. I think Michael Vick is more suited for Chip Kelly's style. And look, none of these guys are the long-term answer, I believe, under Chip Kelly's system. So it's really who can keep you most competitive this year and maybe next year. Because I don't even think Nick Foles, just the type of quarterback that he is. I mean, you know, big, strong, you know, guy, he's not Chip Kelly's type of quarterback. So I don't think anybody's the long-term answer there, but the short-term answer is Michael Vick, if I'm a Philly fan, if I'm an Eagles fan. And you know I'm not, so I'm objective.
Well, going to the team and staying in the NFC East, going to the team that you are a fan of, a lot of buzz out there in Oxnard for the, you know, Cowboys training camp and, you know, the whole buzz about the defense and, you know, Monty Kippen coming back and Garrett not, you know, having the offensive, you know, play calling and Callahan doing it. And can DeMarco Murray stay healthy? Can Romo earn his contract and get the team to the playoffs? You got to believe with your bigger stars, you know, getting a little bit over 30, this is a big year for the Cowboys. I'm not saying you got to win it all, but you really need to make the playoffs. If not, I think Garrett's gone, if I'm being honest with you. I don't know. What do
you
feel
know,
about that?
I agree with you 100%. We talk about a show-me year in Arizona. Well, it's a show-me year in Dallas, too. Look, every year is a show-me year when you're under the spotlight. But if you think about it, this, for Jason Garrett, is very interesting. 5 years ago, he was the boy genius, right? The offensive coordinator, the play caller, all of that. So, okay, so if you just read the press releases and kind of believe the hype, then you say, okay, this guy can do his thing. And now, 5 years later, he's got the head coaching job. You could somewhat argue that he kind of sabotaged Wade Phillips, but he's got the head coaching job. But the boy genius, the offensive wonder, now has Bill Callahan calling the plays. So, wait a minute. What happened? Nobody talked about him as the motivational guy, the guy who presses all the buttons, the kind of, you know, the game manager, or not the game manager, but the team manager. They kept talking about how he's an offensive genius, you know, a la Sean Payton. But he doesn't even call his own plays. So now I'm thinking, wait a minute, is he in over his head? Because he's an offensive guy who's an offensive coordinator, and now he's become, you know, the chief administrator. And nobody said that the chief administrator role was his strength. So what happened? I feel like this is not the Jason Garrett that was the quarterback for the Cowboys and the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys. So I think his time is limited.
You know what, though? I do think, in saying what you said, because you're totally correct, but what happened is that he passed the ball so much. Even though Murray was out, the Cowboys passed more than any other team last year and put Romo in bad situations so he's, you know, can make those mistakes, even though he's, you know, sort of turnover prone per se, not like Sanchez, but, you know, sort of just like how he is in the clutch moments, right? But at the same time, I don't think he, you know, I think Callahan, who's known as, you know, running the ball, tough guy, I think that is where they want to go more of a balance. Like instead of, you know, over 60 to 30 something in terms of pass to run, maybe they want to do like 58-42 or 55-45. And I think to manage the games and the clock and all that, maybe he cannot do both. He's shown how he struggled in the last two or three seasons with all these bonehead plays at the end of the game and not managing the clock, that maybe he needs to just focus on being the head coach. So that's where I think he's at.
Big year in Dallas for him.
Definitely, definitely. So look, you know, we'll get back as, you know, the days and the shows come on, and even probably more on Monday, we'll talk more about football and training camp. But let's get into a little bit of baseball news, as it looks like our guy, our old guy, who was replaced by Cano and was part of the A-Rod deal, Alfonso Soriano from the Cubs, who left us, what, back in 06, is coming back to New York, coming back to the Yankees in the Bronx, and probably can help us because we don't have any production from the DH. What do you think about the Yankees getting Soriano?
You know, I didn't want to pay a premium for him, but it sounds like we're the Yankees, or the Cubs are the Yankees in this transaction, right? Getting rid of the high-priced guy. So they pick up $17.7 million of his $24.5 million over the next 2 years. Okay, sounds good to me. And the Yankees give up a double-A pitching prospect? Okay, sounds good to me. So he's got more home runs, they said, as a right-handed batter. I think the Yankees have, since the All-Star break, something like one home run from a right-handed batter. And a right-handed outfielder is, you know, even worse. Vernon Wells hit a home run in May or something like that. So, you know, the Yankees desperately need offense, and which is funny because for years it was pitching. But the Yankees' bullpen and their starters, and specifically Hideki Kubota, are doing fantastic. And Mariano and the setup guys, Robertson and all those guys, are doing great. So the Yankees need hitting, and they didn't give up much of anything for him. So great, bring him back. Bring him back. Why?
Yeah. Don't you think it's a little too late, though?
It is. And
we're too injured this year.
He's not going to be the justice of 99. He's not going to be that savior who comes in and plays, you know, left field and basically takes us over the hump and wins, you know,
two more
champions.
Warm my heart with a little David Justice. I like that.
But he's not that, but he will help us on offense.
Right. No, I think you're definitely right about that. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, after the suspension of Braun, and then see, you know, what turns up next with whether, you know, A-Rod. It seems like the Yankees and A-Rod, it seems like such a drama where now they're looking like they're making up and they're sort of agreeing, and the doctor looked at this and I didn't know which hip. It's all such a soap opera, but I think at the end of the day, he's going to, even if he gets suspended, it's not going to be a lifetime ban, and he'll be a Yankee. If it's not some point this year, he'll be back next year. So I think that they got to try to play nice a little bit, and we'll see how that all plays out. But it's interesting to see if the Brewers would do anything, you know, if Braun, you know, to replace Braun, or do they stand pat? Do the Rangers do anything to sort of replace, you know, a potential Nelson Cruz loss? You know, some of these players that are on this list or from some playoff contention team. So I think that will be really interesting if
right,
they make
and there
moves,
were two,
you know.
There were two pitching injuries that we need to mention, right?
Oh, yeah.
Really unfortunate. With Tim Hudson, what a warrior, starting his days in Oakland. And then, it was just terrible. Eric Young stepped on his foot. He was covering the base because Freddie Freeman was catching, you know, was fielding a ground ball. So he's going to miss the rest of the season. And then the Pirates closer, Jason Grilly, his arm injury, they diagnosed it as a flexor strain. I don't even know what that means. And hopefully he'll be back pitching again this season. But if the Pirates, you know, their strength is that pitching and that bullpen because, you know, they can't hit either. But, you know, we really are pulling for the Pirates. They haven't been in the playoffs since, 93. So we want to see the Pirates do some things and be competitive down the stretch. So hopefully both of those teams can bounce back from losing a couple of important pitchers on their staff.
No, definitely. You know, it's I think this stretch run is going to be really interesting. I mean, you know, we're seeing, you know, the Rays and Red Sox battle, and now Red Sox-Baltimore. You see the Dodgers trying to do things, Diamondbacks. You know, the different divisions how they battle. And the Pirates and Cardinals, oof, they're playing ball. Looks like the Pirates are going to stay right on their back. They really played well this week against Cincinnati. The Pirates aren't going anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. This is and we are doing – I'm sorry today, but I'm sorry. The Pirates look like they're here to stay. You know what I mean? So that's a good sign for, you know, Pittsburgh and baseball
fans
and stuff like that.
Waited a long time.
They're great fans, you know, Steelers, Pirates, Penguins. The Pittsburgh fans are just – they're great fans, period. I mean, that's, you know – without question.
You're chopping at the bit to do this. So we're going to have to turn it over to you as our resident summer basketball.
Before I even get to the USA basketball game, blue and white last night, which was incredible. You know, you had 28 guys, and, you know, it looks, whatchamacallit, two of them or a couple guys weren't able to play in the game. But you got these guys who are saying, you know what, I want to be a part of the World Games and the Olympics. You know, we already have Durant and Kevin Love have already taken two spots. So they're in, basically, they said to, you know, Colangelo. So they're excited about that, right? It looks like LeBron might be saying he's not in. So we'll see what happens, right, as the veterans decide if they're going to be involved. But USA basketball is in great shape in every level. And you got to give Coach K and Colangelo a lot of props for this. But seeing these guys, these young stars, whether it's Lillard or Kyrie Irving, Paul George, Greg Monroe, Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis had 22-7, and last night got a block shot, came down coast to coast, Ray, used the point guard skills that we heard about when they said he grew from 6'2 to, you know, 6'10, 6'11, and was like boogieing. And, you know, the unibrow attacked, baby. He was nasty. I got to say, Kyrie was ridiculous. John Wall, who, by the way, is probably going to get an $80 million extension. Woof. And the Kings are talking about extending DeMarcus Cousins, the two. You know, look, if you're a young kid, all Colin Parry has to say, look at Wall and Cousins. Look at all the guys I put in the NBA. Because these guys are both about to get these huge contracts. The Kings
are
looking to start negotiations with Cousins.
I mean, Tyreek Evans got paid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and D. Rose.
No, I mean, what does Colin Parry have to say to a kid? He's like, I'm a Kentucky. Look at my boys in the NBA. Even Coach K can't say that.
No. And what's interesting is and a lot of these coaches have to promise these kids, oh, you'll start and you'll this, you'll that. He's like, no. You come
He's like,
no, school,
I'll get you in the NBA.
Yeah, you That's might not even said. Start.
I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing. Also, we got to mention, before I talk about some of these other stars, I just want to go around real quick in the NBA. Allen Anderson, who played really well last year, decent little 2-3 slasher player, reached a 2-year deal with the Nets. The Nets keep spending money, so he's no longer with the Raptors. Now he's with the Nets, and the Nets completely are like at 15 players now. Elias Harris, who I don't know that much about, I saw him a little bit in Summer League, signed a 2-year deal with the Lakers. So the Lakers are just, I don't know, they're fishing it, anybody looks like. Officially, Timofey, your boy, Mozgov, signed back with the Nuggets, and, you know, they officially signed Nate Robinson. And then the Knicks, you know, since our last show, the Knicks have brought back in Kenyon Martin, who I thought was key. So the Knicks still are going to let these guys battle it in, you know, veteran training camp for, you know, spot 13, 14, and 15. But they officially have 12 guys now, bringing Kenyon back along with C.J. Leslie and Tim Hardaway Jr. So I like the Knicks. The Pelicans look like they're deep with their 9, and they might be having, you know, Greg Oden join their team with, you know, Gordon, Aminu, Anderson, Drew Holiday, Tariq Evans, Anthony Davis, Austin Rivers. The Pelicans could be battling for 8th spot in the playoffs, Ray.
Yeah,
NBA is just going to be fascinating.
They might. And you know, the Knicks, by signing Kenyon, at least start the season with some size, because even though he doesn't play tremendously big, the Bargnani is still, you know, 6'11", 7 feet. And then Kenyon Martin. And then if you can get something out of Jeremy Tyler, and even, like you said, C.J. Leslie, 6'8". So you got some help in the front court for Chandler, you know, Amari, and Carmelo. So that's good. The Knicks are coming with a little bit of size and some little bit of offense now with Bargnani. But Talk to us about that blue and white game. What's your take on it?
I'll tell you some more. I mean, obviously, I think the final score was like 126 to 1, you know, I don't know, whatever. The white team won. But I think the players that really stood out, Kyrie Irving is on his way to challenge Rose and Paul and Rondo, anybody who wants to be challenged as the best point guard in the NBA. I'll just say that. Jrue Holiday was solid. Paul George, you know, but Greg Monroe. Now, I got to say, this is, you know, hey, we're going with the AL East in baseball, for I'm sorry, but Greg Monroe, it's not, you know, he's got to do it for a full season, but he's on the verge of getting an I'm sorry letter because
I think this year, him and Drummond.
Yeah, well, him and Drummond are going to be nasty, and I think you're going to have to send a letter, an I'm sorry letter, to Drummond, because this kid is going to be, I think he's going to be a stud. I really do. I think the Pistons, and guess even furthermore, another letter from Ray is going to go to Joe Dumars, because it looks like Joe is turning it around. If Drummond becomes a player, Brandon Knight still develops. They bring back Chauncey to sort of organize these young guards. Cartavious, Caldwell Pope, you know, of course, Josh Smith. And I think Josh Smith could start at the three for them. They're just going to need some shooting, but I think Chauncey could help them with that off the bench and some other guys. I think the Pistons are doing the best that they can. And I think Brandon Knight, this is a big year for him. He's got to really, you know, take it over, not just to be a scoring guard, but to get more everybody involved and get some assists going. It should be interesting.
Well, we shall see.
USA basketball is great.
Still out.
Yeah.
I was going to say the jury's still out on Detroit, but yeah. So.
No. You're right. I mean, they're not going to be a playoff team, but they're definitely going to be very, very competitive. I really believe that. I think they're going to be exciting, and they haven't had anything to be excited about. But look at the Raptors. I got to tell you. Rudy Gay didn't play, but he's expected to possibly be on his team. But DeMar DeRozan is improving, looking good. In the summer league, the MVP was Jonas Valanciunas, who they're saying that he is going to be basically the offense is going to go through him up in Toronto, which is a great sign. And he looked nasty, Ray. I mean, this kid is aggressive, big body. He looks like he's finally growing into. And, oh, by the way, Anthony Davis worked on his jump shot. He was hitting jumpers. Looked like he got 10 pounds bigger. How many Pelicans are out there peddling?
Well, we'll see. I love this kid, Anthony Davis. You called it on Rookie of the Year, but I thought Anthony Davis would be Rookie of the Year. Your boy Lillard is fantastic up in Phoenix. I mean, up in Portland, but this is Anthony Davis. I mean, I love the fact that he's a point guard 3 years ago, 4 years ago, as a 6'2", you know, junior in high school in Chicago.
Yeah. So, no, it's amazing. It's definitely amazing. So listen, let's do it. I'll let you go first, and let's talk about our segment, I'm Sorry. Ray and Tate today, we've got our segments, and one of them that we haven't done in a while that's really popular and people love it, we've gotten emails about it, is I'm Sorry, where we apologize to a team, a player, a franchise, a coach, whoever. Ray, take it away. Who are you saying I'm sorry to?
I'm apologizing to a city, to a country, and to all of our fans. I predicted that the AL East champion would be the Toronto Blue Jays. And currently, the Blue Jays are fifth in the American League. And they have given up the second most runs in Major League Baseball. So they are terrible. Only the Houston Astros have given up more runs. So in a very competitive AL East, I give you that, they're 46-55. 14 games behind Boston, and a full 7.5 games behind the Yankees, who are in fourth place. So this team that had high expectations, and I guess they're hitting the ball, is just not able to pitch. So this team can't keep it in the ballpark. They've got a batter-friendly ballpark, and they're pitching. I mean, they brought in R.A. Dickey. They brought in Mark Burley. So they took some chances on some veterans, and J.A. Happ, Brendan Morrow. They've got some guys out there that really haven't delivered the goods. So to Toronto, to, you know, Ontario, to Canada, I thought you guys were going to be – I thought that was it. You know, in my heart, and this is what Tay did, and I respect that. He said, look, Toronto, they've got to show me first, right? And I said, oh, they've got some talent. They got Edwin Encarnacion coming back, and Joey Bats, Jose Bautista is going to – his hand's going to be good, and Reyes – and they made that trade and picked some more
options. I was like,
talent.
I don't believe you. You need more people.
So I apologize. I'm sorry. I got hyped up. I got caught up in the moment. I'm sorry to Toronto. I'm sorry to Canada, but I was wrong. And I'm sorry. I apologize.
Well, for me, like you said, we're staying in the AL East. And I'm sorry for putting them in the AL East, predicted to be last on our MLB preview show with Bob Brenly. I believe I had Tampa first, Baltimore second, Blue Jays third, Yankees fourth, and the Red Sox fifth. They have the second best record in baseball. They're right there every other day. It switches between the Cardinals, Red Sox, and Pirates, but they're a game up on Tampa, who is, you know, just so hot. I mean, a half a game up on them. We'll see what happens tonight. They're 61-42. I mean, to me, the Red Sox, it goes all over the place. I mean, obviously you've got Dustin Pedroia, you've got Big Poppy, you've got some of these young players who have gone up and down, even like, you know, Ellsbury, by the way, who they're going to lock up, who I think to a long-time contract is just played incredible.
Well, they locked up Pedroia to 7 more years.
Right. They already did Pedroia, but I think that Ellsbury is next. I love Nava, who's on my baseball team. He's been, you know, playing great, you know, batting well and doing really well out there in left field. Obviously, Buchholz with the pitching, some of the other pitchers. Now they've got the, whatchamacallit, in the bullpen. Akamura or whatever. He has come in and started, you know, getting saves for them since they've had the different injuries, and they got rid of Papelbon a couple years ago. I like Bailey. Has been playing well. And what I love about the Red Sox, even though Bradley didn't stay up in the beginning and Middlebrooks, and they've switched to, you know, these guys are young. They've got young players all over with Diaz, Ross. The Red Sox are deep. I do like Middlebrooks. I think he'll be a factor, Snyder, all these guys. And what I like about it, the team themselves, they're clutch.
Best offense in baseball. I mean, they're running
exactly.
away. I mean,
look at Gomes. Gomes doesn't play all the time, but when he has to, just like he did against the Yankees, you know, Gomes is banging out homers and coming through in the clutch. They're getting walks. They're getting RBIs. They've got, you know, a couple guys in the 40s, 50s, and 60s in RBIs. I think what you're getting from the Red Sox is clutch hitting. And I like it. Everybody's driving in runs. And if I'm honest, even with Drew too, right? Drew's playing well. The Red Sox have got the type of team that they can make noise in the playoffs and make it to the World Series.
Well, they have
they
to
really
stack together their pitching, right? Because all of their pitching is kind of older guys that used to do it. I mean, Clay Buchholz is obviously the ace and the star of that staff now. But
right.
Lackey, DuBrunt, Dempster, Lester, these guys have to just piece it together because that offense is ridiculous. And you're right, Uehara and Tozawa out of the bullpen is, you know, wow. The Red Sox, and I'm with you, man. I had them last as well. So
yeah.
These guys,
but
you know, you're sorry.
Do you realize
I'm
they
sorry.
Got five guys batting over 300?
Yeah.
I mean, that right there tells you. I mean, you know, that's, you know. I mean, they're very consistent offensively, and when you've got five guys, especially Iglesias, who's doing the best, you know, batting like 343, it's impressive. So I'm sorry, Boston. I got to give you your love and your props. Listen, you had a rough year with the Celtics, the Bruins, you know, the Patriots. You've had a rough run, and, you know, God bless you for your tragedies, but – look, the Red Sox might be bringing them frowns to smiles in New England and the Boston area. So, hey, Tay, sorry. And I give you your props because you know what? I'm a Red Sox hater and I'm a Yankee fan, but that's not why I picked them to do so poorly. A lot of people had the Red Sox predicted, you know, fourth and fifth. It surely wasn't just Tay.
Me too.
Yeah. So I eat the crow, but we'll see how it all plays out. But definitely, I am sorry. And that's about it, man. You know,
Great show.
Yeah, rocking and rolling. I think, obviously, maybe we'll have another quick hitter on Monday. Obviously, just so you know, Ray and Tay will be back full force on a full schedule starting in September. You know, the NFL season premieres Thursday, September 5th. We'll probably have our preview show that Wednesday, September 4th, and break down everything. We'll get into college football, talking about the top 25 before then, the end of August. Fantasy football, we'll get into that. You know, talk about our leagues. We have a Ray and Tay league, and then we have a league that we've done for years, Real Ball, which Ray was the champion last year. Got to give props to Ray.
Sir.
Ray beat Tay in the title game, so you know that's great.
Sir.
So, and this year will be our first annual Ray and Tay league, so we'll see how that goes. So we got a lot coming for you, but we'll, you know, like I said, September 4th we'll be kicking in our second season, and we will really be coming back strong 3 days a week with NFL, college football, with everything that people seem to go crazy for. And college football and NFL are like number one and two in American sports, if we're being real.
Oh, my God, aren't they?
Yeah, no,
so, yeah,
definitely.
Have a great
so another great show.
Yeah.
Hey, Ray, you know what? We got to thank the listeners for, man. We have just crashed it, and Ray and Tay have gotten basically jumped the broom over 50,000 listeners and 50,000 listens on our show at Blog Talk Radio. So that's big, you know. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you from the bottom of our heart. And we hope you have a great weekend. We have fun talking to you. I hope you have fun talking to us and being interactive. And like Tay always says, hit us up on all the social media, whatever you like. You want email, Facebook, Twitter, the website, you know, listen to our stuff. Listen to our back episodes. Listen to our MLB preview with Bob Brenly. Listen to our college episode with Coach David Shaw or with Charles Davis. We've got baseball, basketball, football, whatever sport you like. We're talking about it. And if you want us to talk about something, shoot us off an email. Hit us up on Twitter. We're interactive, and we love to be one with our audience. So don't be shy.
Definitely. And, Ray, you said it best. And if you're jonesing for some football talk, Charles Davis on our show, he broke down – you know, like what, almost 6 to 10 teams in detail, every draft choice they had. So whether you're Jet, Steeler, Giant, Cowboy fan, Cardinals, you know, broke down the Vikings, he really put it out there for us. So it's a great listen. And, hey, thanks for talking sports with friends. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
We're out.
Peace.